Lamar.
Freedom or free stuff. You only get to choose one. Call 888-673-1450. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
We don't have inflation because the people are living too well. We have inflation because the government is living too well.
I think the Environmental Protection Agency, in many instances, has gone to an extreme. You've got environmentalists who wouldn't let you build a house unless it looked like a bird's nest.
One of these days, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad you're joining us today. Full show ahead and putting pieces together in foreign news. Lots going on in foreign news today. And, just all kinds of places to go. Melissa will join me later. Susan will join me later. We'll climb down the rabbit hole. What can I say? So much on the docket today. And we need to get to it. I actually want to have Ben join me. Ben McClintock from DefendingUtah.org, one of my favorite journalism organizations, because they strive to tell the truth. And that is a difficult thing to do in this day and age. So I'm always super happy to tell you to support DefendingUtah.org and the DVDs, all kinds of things, training tools to be a better citizen, to be a better watchdog, all the things that will help you even time-wise, cut down on the time to make sure that you're hitting the right, you know, the right things and in your limited time, make sure that it's effective. That's what I love about it. DefendingUtah.org. Ben, how are you?
Hey, fantastic. So good to be with you again.
You too. Covering the state of Utah in this first local hour. And, of course, down here. And well, we have all kinds of fun talking about what's going on, really, in the state of Utah. And so where do you want to start, Ben?
Well, just kind of piggybacking off what you just said, we want to let everybody know that we've got an exclusive Patriot Starter Pack for anybody that signs up as a member of Defending Utah at any level. We'll get one of our DVDs that features you and Ammon Bundy, as well as Hans Anderson, which talks about the Federal Reserve and the Liberty and all those types of things. T-shirt that quotes Ezra Benson talking about the Constitution being saved, just not in Washington. Our booklet on serial combinations in Utah, our booklet on the lands transfer movement, and our booklets on nullification. All of that will be sent to you free if you mention that you heard about us through your program.
So really excited
to offer that for you.
So where do they need to go to find that?
You go to defendingutah.org and then click on the membership tab and become a member. And in the notes, you just say, I heard from you through Kate Daly.
Oh, awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for doing that. I know that that this audience is always happy to hear what in the world is going on in Utah. And so on that note, I want to talk about fusion centers a little bit, because I don't think we realize to the degree between this and the UN coming. I mean, we just have so many fun surprises in Utah. So let's talk about that.
Crazy?
Yeah, it is actually. It is. I mean, between that Bluffdale, we have, the Center for Spying. I mean, it's strange that we keep offering ourselves up as a state to this kind of nonsense. And I don't know why we do. Except for the cash. I'm not quite sure why we're the ones that say, oh, please, more government and government that does corrupt things, please come. So I'm not quite sure. I haven't got the memo yet. But,
Utah is like the testing ground. If they can get Utah to do something, they can get everybody. It's easy to get California to sign on for tyranny. If we can get Utah to sign on, we can get anybody to sign on.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different things that are connected. There's these two stories I wanted to bring up that seem not connected, but they really are.
Okay.
So if we remember, back in the 90s, there was the Oklahoma City bombing, the federal building that was bombed, and a lot of different fishy things came out of that. If you go to the Tiffany Utah YouTube channel, we've got an interview with William F. Jasper talking about his research on that. Mm-hmm. And it's got a Utah connection that probably a lot of people don't know. One of the lawyers involved was a guy up in Salt Lake. His name is Jesse Trudeau. Mm-hmm. And his brother was actually in prison with Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, wow.
And for the information that his brother got while in prison, they murdered him for it. Hmm. And there's actually a trial going on in Salt Lake at the federal courthouse that they're hoping will be wrapped up. So if we're talking, you know, almost 30 years ago, this trial finally is going to get wrapped up, they hope, that they still haven't gotten the video footage that shows who planted the bombs at the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, that's interesting. Seriously, yeah. 20 years later?
Yeah.
Well, 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
And so as a part of this, there's this FBI program called PatCon.
Okay.
And what this is, it's a way for the FBI to entrap people into doing things they wouldn't normally do, such as like with the Oklahoma City bombing. They're the ones that gave Terry Nichols the detonator for the bomb.
Hmm.
And then we have it in Utah where a man was just put in prison, Bill Keebler, under PatCon.
Yeah.
PatCon goes all the way back to the Clinton administration, is being used today with all those things. We've been able to see how, in fact, PatCon starting in the 90s was what led to the Fast and Furious program of putting arms in the hands of terrorists and drug traffickers. And so what's being used with PatCon now is being used in conjunction with fusion centers. So I'm now leading this 30-year-old, almost 30-year-old story now to today with the fusion centers.
Okay.
And the fusion department, if your listeners aren't aware of it, it's basically your local police department signing up to be a part of a national database. And so your local police being taken over by the by DC. So now all of our local police are becoming these de facto federal agencies under the guise of being able to share information with police departments across the country. So now all of the information in your local police is a part of a national database. And this is the fusion centers. Basically how they operate is that these urban area fusion centers, they serve as the primary focal points. This is from the DHS website. Within the state and local environment for the receipt, analysis, gathering, and sharing of threat-related information among federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial partners. And fusion centers conduct analysis and facilitate information sharing, assisting law enforcement and homeland security partners in preventing, protecting against, and responding to crime and terrorism. You know, sounds like it's for a good cause, but we know what happens when we have these national databases, because we see here that the states, right, when they decide because the local police are getting all this funding and they're a part of this federal police force, the feds now decide when to deploy local police department personnel. And we see them that the police are basically just nothing more than a functionary required to make sure that the orders of the federal government are then carried out. And so Salt Lake has become a partner with this fusion center, and the Unified Police Department, which is not a real police department, it's a private corporation run by the sheriff. Has now, instead of becoming the sheriff, he's now the CEO of this corporation. And when cities become join this corporation, they give up all of their property to the corporation, so that way they, you know, less likely to want to leave. And so under this Unified Police Department, they've joined the fusion center. And getting this funding from the federal government, they've come out with this new phone app that they're trying to get everybody to download to their phone. But it affects people that not just people that download to their phone. It affects everybody.
Right.
But it's really interesting because you download this Unified Police Department app to your phone, and it has little options to be able to, you know, give tips, report missing persons, look up events that are coming up soon. And you can report things like drug activity, gang activity, and just parking issues, just random different things. But when you go into the permissions section of what you allow this app to do and the government to do, is you give it access to add or modify your calendar in your phone.
Wait, what? can go in and change. So when you take on the Fusion app, you're allowing them to change your calendar.
Right. And to add events to it, to read the things that you've put in your calendar.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You give the government access to your location, which you already do anyways, but this is violated. So this is saying that the police no longer have to get a warrant.
Right.
Now you're giving them your permission to violate your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. You're giving them permission to access your GPS location. You're giving them permission to directly to your phone, to directly call phone numbers within your contact list and to read the phone status and identity. You're giving the government the permission to modify or delete the contents of your SD card and to read the contents of your SD card. You also give them the access to full network access to be able to access the computers on your network and to view network connections. It's a total opt-in to tyranny is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing beyond, so those are the suckers, right? That actually download this on their phone. But this is leaking into the whole see something, say something mentality of a Soviet Union, where they're conditioning the average person to turn on their neighbor. We have the new illegal bump stock ban. Well, now, if you've still got your bump stock, somebody takes a picture of you and turns into the government. Your neighbor gets mad at you and, wants to claim you did something. They take a picture of it and they send it into through this app. This is completely turning into the Orwellian police state that we read about in 1984, we see application of in history. I knew a guy that actually lived in Nazi Germany when they were banning guns, and they couldn't, of course, get into everybody's home. And so what they started doing was they would stop the food rations. The government would stop sending in food rations to the local community. And then a couple of weeks would go by and they would say, well, you know what? So-and-so down the street still has a gun. And food rations will continue when
Everybody suffers until that person turns in the gun.
Until that person, exactly.
Yeah.
And so this is the exact type of tool that that can be used to be able to turn us into that kind of society.
Jeez Louise. I was reading an article about fusion centers, and this was an interesting title to this. Fusion centers struggle to find their place in a post-9/11 world. The reason they're struggling to find their place is they don't have one. We invent more and more and more law enforcement arms and government on ourselves. Do we not think that what we have local can handle the problems locally? Do we then need all these different types of programs and law enforcement programs and governing programs and spying programs and data programs? How many programs do we need? No wonder they're finding a hard place to, struggling to find their place, because there is no place. There's no authority for any of this. That's what drives me crazy, is there's no authority. We just act like it's needed because they've said it's needed, not because it actually is. Be right back. More with Ben when we come back on the show. Well, be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
No sign of rain. All of a sudden, everything changed. I couldn't run. I couldn't stay dry. What do you do when there's nowhere to hide?
To the Kate Daly Show. So glad you are. Local Utah Hour, and glad to have you on board today. A lot to talk about. We're talking about fusion centers, and it's kind of an interesting thought when you step back a little bit and you start evaluating why they came into play. And oh so quickly after 9/11, as if like they'd been already in the works for years and just needed a reason. There's that. But I welcome back Ben McClintock from DefendingUtah.org, and he's bringing up some great information on fusion centers, because What I find kind of astounding about this whole thing is that these fusion centers are basically describing themselves as a cyber fusion. Doesn't that sound tricky? A cyber fusion is an intelligence gathering, analysis, and dissemination state or urban major urban area center. And then they have what's called the secondary centers that are not primary, but that support maybe just the city. And then the primary one supports each state. And they had these ready to go, and they were already done and a done deal and funded and everything at the time. And so the ultimate goal, they say, of a fusion center is to provide a mechanism where law enforcement, public safety, and private partners, that's interesting, can come together with a common purpose and improve the ability to safeguard our homeland and prevent criminal activity. But aren't we already doing that with local police departments? I mean, isn't that the whole point of having local police departments, is to prevent criminal activity in your city and also to deal with criminal activity? Why is this even needed?
It's not. It's just a total collection of power.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the sheriffs that have the ability to investigate any of these things and to be able to have task force, to be able to do this on a local level. Mm-hmm. But they sell it as a way to be able to collect, you know, to be able to network with other cities, to be able to do their investigation. And they sell it on that basis. And then they sell us down the river of this national database.
Yeah. And they say that the FBI and the CIA are not part of the Department of Homeland Security, although this is basically Homeland Security. But these are the ones that also are data collecting for the FBI and CIA, just like the other police departments, just like everybody else. Yeah. I mean, there's so many arms of law enforcement now that I find it very, very confusing, and people should find it very, very confusing. In fact, I'll take a caller for you, if you don't mind. Hi, caller. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You're on with Ben McClintock.
Yeah, such a good, important topic. I want to talk about one of the fusion centers in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And what they did approximately 8 years ago, and I think Ben probably knows about this. And first of all, the purpose, they have to nationalize all law enforcement mm-hmm. before they can impose complete tyranny on us. And this is a major step towards it. But this Missouri Center, this hybrid of local, state, and federal law enforcement, came out with a study that identified potential terrorists. The only difference is they didn't call them potential domestic terrorists. They called them actual terrorists. Mm-hmm. And they gave a list of the characteristics of these people. And some of the things on the list is that they read the book, Pass the Act of Law. Mm-hmm. They oppose America's membership in the UN. They oppose gun control. They speak up the Constitution, promote the Constitution. These were all listed as actual domestic terrorists.
People that had food storage.
For about six months or so before enough of us emailed them, the governor, and they finally dropped it. And they didn't explain the study or anything. They just said, never mind. Hmm. So, and one last point, I want to tie this to the red flag. So we have 23 states that have these red flag laws. Mm-hmm. Right now, these red flag laws are going after individuals. They can easily go after groups. And one group you should be going after that's dangerous is actual domestic terrorists. So they can combine these red flag type laws with these kind of rulings from these fusion centers and give an excuse to come after the patriots in America. And they only have to take away the patriots, their guns, because the rest of the people will go along with the tyranny. So I think this is really very important that people understand these fusion centers and do their best to abolish them.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Can you disagree? Yeah. You know, there was a report that came out last year, and it talked about, it was like the findings of the fusion center, you know, to give it all this credibility. And it said that they continue to prioritize counterterrorism, general crime, narcotics, cybersecurity, and critical infrastructure issues. All of those things are already covered. Every single one of them. Already covered. Yep. By an agency of some sort of government overreach. And so I think sometimes what we do is we say, well, it must be needed, so we don't really question, and we don't really take, I think, look at the big picture. I know I've been guilty of this, not looking at the big picture to go, wow, we are really inundated with agencies all overlapping and doing the same thing. This is the exact same problem, but with having, you have the DEA, the CIA, the FBI, you have Department of Homeland Security, you have all of these different offices all doing, overlapping and part of each other. And then I think that there are so many things in that that represent, all it represents to me is just huge government overreach, multiple agencies doing the same thing. So no matter what, one agency doesn't do something to you, the other agency picks up the slack and does it to you, or they both do it to you. I mean, I think it's very interesting how much overlapping there is. It's strange. But we don't ever ask about it. Why?
Yeah, we think that, oh, they wouldn't ask for it if they didn't want it. And so, yeah, you know, there's just this whole collection mm-hmm. of power into one body. It's what the founding fathers warned about, was the collection of, you know, of course, the executive, judiciary, and the legislative all into one body.
Yeah.
And that's what these things are all about. And they do it really deceptively. They're not all called fusion centers. In Texas, it's called the Texas Intelligence Center. In Utah, it's called the Statewide Information mm-hmm. and Analysis Center.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not part of a national database. It's only a statewide thing. No, it's linked directly onto the Homeland Security's website. It's listed as one of their official fusion centers. Mm-hmm. And again, they're using the local police to do their dirty work for them. And so we've got this private entity called the Unified Police Department that makes them look like they're actually a public police department when they're really not, mm-hmm. is collecting this data for the feds. And people are signing on for it voluntarily with this app. And it's this whole net, which affects every different aspect of a free society, is being targeted right here in Utah with these fusion centers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in 2017, it cost us about $300 million to run these. That's a lot of money. And it comes from state and federal funding. And still to this day, they're very general on what they even do. And it really is, like the caller said, like Mark said, it's really about creating terrorists. Because if we realize this, 5 years ago, 5 to 10 years ago, probably before that, you never heard the word domestic terrorist. You only heard terrorist. And then it became domestic terrorist. And lo and behold, we have fusion centers analyzing everybody's data to help find these so-called domestic terrorists. And I find that kind of interesting. We had the passage of the NDAA, and which puts people behind bars that are American citizens, because all they have to do is say domestic terrorist. But you could classify many people as a domestic terrorist, and the problem is that if you go to fight that, you can't get that label off, but you lose everything if you're classified that. And a lot of what these centers are trying to do is to look for it. It's to kind of like say, well, we can connect some dots and make it look like, you know, this person is a domestic terrorist, and we've got our ear to the ground. Because I think there's some people out there that go, yeah, but there could be some crazy terrorists from another country, and they could be plotting something, and thank goodness for the fusion center, they're going to get them. They act as if no other law enforcement agency exists in the state of Utah, and they're not on it, but the fusion center is. Well, do you know what I mean?
And they act like the founding fathers said, the Constitution's really cool, but in case of an emergency, ignore it.
Right. Yeah, let's pop him in jail without a trial. I had a whistleblower on the show who was in for a year. She never got any evidence against her. She never knew why she was in there. She was put in on the NDAA, and she was actually part of the CIA and was put in. And like she said, I was put in and never, ever even privy to any of the information as to why I was in there. And so does it happen all the time? And with this new domestic terrorist label, if we don't think that part of the mission then is about us, the people, and not about just keeping some crazy person from another country at bay. And yeah, you can have some crazy people here too, but I'm pretty sure that those people surface enough with what we already have going, with the arms of law enforcement that we already have going. And so that's why this is so unnecessary.
Well, and the problem is, there's been reports about this all the time, is that the average American commits three felonies a day. And so literally any of us could fall into this thing. And we have a government that's too big that all of us fall under or could fall under the label of domestic terrorist. And that's what they're doing. And that's what the caller pointed out earlier, is that, you know, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in food storage, you are automatically a suspected domestic terrorist. And so everybody, and so yes, you're right, Kate, about the, you know, we've got enough local police that can handle this. But when we grow this thing and we start to label everybody as domestic terrorists. Now, it reminds me of a line in The Incredibles of, if everybody's special, that means nobody is. If they're going to start calling everybody a terrorist, that means nobody is.
It
ruins the whole thing. I was looking on KSL has this thing. First, before I get to that, they're hiding these fusion centers. The one in Salt Lake is actually in Sandy at the Salt Lake Community College campus. And the KSL has an article about it. And what's really interesting is one of the people working there, it's got a picture right here on the KSL website. One of their little Jess dockies have on hanging up on their little cubicle wall is a Guy Fawkes mask. Now, is that guy a potential domestic terrorist that is working for the fusion center?
Yeah. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Reading through that report, let me just say that one of their biggest things was, we're really on top of critical infrastructure, which is scary to some people. They don't realize, you know, what that is. Did you know that's covered under FEMA? That's covered under FEMA. And so FEMA doesn't have the authority to exist. And so I'll tell you something about the report. What was most telling about the report, what was not on it. And that was, geez, because of fusion centers, we had this many terrorists from other countries doing X amount of things and we caught them. Kind of like the TSA. Mm-hmm. They never come out and really say what they're there for, what they've actually accomplished in 20 years. Never. Mm-hmm. It's always about sliding through the generalization of information as to why they exist, but never proving the case as to why they remain. And so, so again, 2017, this thing's been in for, you know, 16 years. We're still looking at, they can't even say what they've actually done. Because what they do is so behind the scenes and in the shadows of data collection that they do not want to admit to, that they don't even admit to any number. They don't even make up any numbers. They just act like we're just doing huge, important things here. So just ignore us. And we
do. And if you're against us, you're pro-terrorism.
Yes, that means exactly. You're anti-American if you're against multiple agencies all doing the same thing. Then you're not wanting to keep America safe. Man, a lot is done under the guise of safety. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Now, call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me. I know you've got somewhere to go, but won't you make yourself at home and stay with me? And don't you ever leave.
All right, back here with you. Kate Daly Show at your service. And today, Melissa, talking about the events of today, Congress, what happened there, and also Susan jumping down the rabbit hole a little bit and going into a little bit of foreign, some of the pieces in foreign politics. We'll talk about that in the last hour as well. Maybe what we need to be aware of, pieces maybe that people haven't put together yet. We'll get there today in the show. Always so much to talk about and trying to decide what, because honestly, every day it's 20 new items, 30 new items. And so there's just so much out there to be aware of. Right now, just so you know, for those that homeschool, UK is mandating registration of all homeschool children. This comes to us from Alex Newman. And they are making sure that the kids are receiving mandatory indoctrination on homosexuality and gender confusion. And authorities in the UK are now targeting homeschool families for mandatory registration. It's all being done under the guise of protecting children from dangerous influences. And I'll tell you, it's a controversial scheme announced by the UK Department of Education, but something that America needs to be heavily aware of because of the things that seem to filtrate over here. That parents and government councils are going to be responsible for ensuring that all homeschooled children are tracked and registered by the government. And so, so that this target was officially announced in public for the first time in early 2016 and is now becoming a reality. It's a difficult thing to imagine that that there will come a time when you absolutely have to be registered like this, and it's scary to think about because I don't know if we realize how much is at stake when this happens. One of the last bastions of freedom is being able to educate your own children away from indoctrination, and it's really, really scary. And I can't even imagine, I just can't imagine having to do that. But I do see a time, and I know you do too. I do see a time to when that is coming. And that, it's just awful, isn't it? You just think there's no way. And when we talk about the reason that some of these things are happening, when sex education changed in our schools, some interesting information came out. Carol Everett, former abortion clinic owner, I think she owned 5 different abortion clinics. She said that we had a whole plan to sell abortions called sex education, break down natural modesty, separate them from their parents and their values, become the sex expert in their lives. So they'd turn to us and we'd give them a low dose birth control that they'd get pregnant on. Or a defective condom, because we didn't buy the most expensive condoms. We bought the cheapest ones. And our goal was 3 to 5 abortions from every girl between the ages of 13 and 18. 3 to 5 abortions, that was the goal for every girl between the ages of 13 and 18. That was a goal. And some people say, well, why was that the goal? Well, money. Money and really impeding culture and changing culture here in America, value systems, with money probably being at the helm of that. Money in, money out, which is extremely sad and horrific in every possible way that I can imagine. To even admit that. Is and I when we talk about sex education, I think we ought to remind ourselves sometimes what the goal of that actually is. They can call it education, but is it? And a lot of parents choose to homeschool so that these ideas and messages, exactly what Carol Everett said, isn't happening in their own homes. And the minute you have to register, the minute you have to become a product of the government while you're homeschooling, then you're subject to them making sure that you have to do certain things in order to do that, in order to homeschool. And it's really unfortunate. So it became a reality in the UK, and can we expect that here? Yeah, and not being fear, doom, and gloom, but yeah, that's coming for sure. There's no doubt that that's coming our way. There was an article also in Deseret News that I just wanted to make people aware of, because I want to read the inflammatory headline by Louise Collins. Vaccination exemptions are under fire as the measles outbreak grows nationwide. Here's what you need to know. And then it actually states that nearly 400 cases of measles across 15 states is what they're talking about. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know about the biggest outbreak ever. 400 cases. 400 cases. Yep, 400. That's it. Despite the headlines, which is what a lot of people read, which is unfortunate, that the depth of their knowledge comes from headlines. When you get into this, I just want to say New York had a city, Rockland, right, that they tried to do that with. The judge overturned it because they tried to ban, you know, people that weren't vaccinated out of public areas. And that's after taking the numbers from 18 months of measles, which still wasn't very many. And then they tried to do it in another city in New York as well. And that was actually on our docket yesterday to mention. And they're gonna keep doing this. They're going to keep doing it. And just so that we're still aware that it's only 400 cases across 15 states. That's a lot of millions and millions and millions of people. Connecticut, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, New Hampshire, Colorado, California, Arizona, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Texas, and Washington. There's only 400 cases. 400 cases of people having a week-long, oh, I don't know, sniffles illness. And they're done. And I just really feel like we need to keep restating over and over again as the articles become more inflammatory, this one in Deseret News, front page, of course, as it becomes more and more inflammatory, as it becomes more and more of a pivotal focus for everybody on the measles, just remember that it's 400 cases across 15 states. Just wanted to say that again. So, do you realize that we're being hyped up for no apparent reason? It's astounding to me. I'm sure it is to you too. It's got to be. Announced in for the state of Utah. Here's something kind of funny. There's a new. I don't know if it's an app or a program. It's like a matchmaking thing. They want to start a revolution in dating, and so. They're doing a dating experiment called 30 Day Bay. They're taking applications, which means that you are basically having to hang out with the same person for 30 days. They want you to spend time together for 30 days. And then you can decide whether or not you want to cut them loose. Oh, reminds me of my mission. Anyway, you basically have to keep this up. It's a viral experiment. There are programs out there for 40 days of dating, but I just wanted you to know that it's going to be out there. They're really trying to reinvent the wheel on this. So you have to spend time every single day. So I just thought I'd mention something kind of funny today because they really are trying to sell this thing. This was front page, Deseret News. And so, you know, there's this thing called dating and you just kind of choose who you want to go out with. And then if you want to spend, if you want to go on a date, then 2 weeks go by and then you want to plan another date. That's usually how it rolls. 30 days that you have to spend together. I don't know, tied to the wrist. I'm not quite sure how that works, but sick of them or not, you have to follow through. So they're thinking this might create some bonding, for people, because you know we're at such a loss of bonding because of our social media, that maybe this will do the trick. Maybe I don't know. Just cut loose social media. I'm just going to throw that out there as an option because I don't know that you need to go to this extreme. But I could be wrong. Who knows? It's baffling. I do want to play for you, if I can, this segment, which I loved this. This is from Candace Owens. This is about, I'm just going to play probably a few minutes of this. This is her speaking to Congress about white nationalism, and I wanted to make sure and get this on the show today because I thought it was very worthy. Here you go. Candace Owens testifying. She actually got into it a little bit with Ted Lieu from California, that total moron from California, the total socialist, about her comments. But this is what she had to say. Here we go. And she was testifying on how white nationalism and the Democrat Party go hand in hand. Now, I mean, as far as that goes, you'll hear. Here we go.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today. I received word on my way in that many of the journalists were confused as to why I was invited, and none of them knew that I myself was the victim of a hate crime when I was in high school. That's something that very few people know about me, because the media and the journalists and the left are not interested in telling the truth about me because I don't fit the stereotype of what they like to see in black people. I'm a Democrat, I support the President of the United States, and I advocate for things that are actually affecting the black community. I'm honored to be here today in front of you all because the person sitting behind me is my 75-year-old grandfather. I've always considered myself to be my grandfather's child, and I mean to say that my sense of humor, my passion, and my work ethic all comes from the man that is sitting behind me. My grandfather grew up on a sharecropping farm in the segregated South. He grew up in an America where words like racism and white nationalism held real meaning under the Democrat Party's Jim Crow laws. My grandfather's first job was given to him at the age of 5 years old, and his job was to lay tobacco out to dry in an attic in the South. My grandfather has picked cotton, and he has also had experiences with a Democrat terrorist organization of that time, the Ku Klux Klan. They would regularly visit his home and they would shoot bullets into it. They had an issue with his father, my great-grandfather. During my formative years, I had the privilege of growing up in my grandfather's home. It's going to shock the committee, but not once, not in a single breath of a conversation, did my grandfather tell me that I could not do something because of my skin color. Not once did my grandfather hold a gripe against the white man. I was simply never taught to view myself as a victim because of my heritage. I learned about faith in God, family, and hard work. Those were the only lessons of my childhood.
I want to go here for the sake of time. Here you go.
What they won't tell you about this, the statistics and the rise of white nationalism, is that they've simply changed the data set points by widening the definition of hate crimes and upping the number of reporting agencies that are able to report on them. What I mean to say is that they're manipulating statistics. The goal here is to scare blacks, Hispanics, gays, and Muslims into helping them censor dissenting opinions, ultimately into helping them regain control of our country's narrative, which they feel that they lost. They feel that President Donald Trump should not have beat Hillary. If they actually were concerned about white nationalism, they would be holding hearings on Antifa, a far-left, violent, white gang who determined one day in Philadelphia in August that I, a black woman, was not fit to sit in a restaurant. They chased me out. They yelled race traitor to a group of black and Hispanic police officers who formed a line to protect me from their ongoing assaults. They threw water at me. They threw eggs at me. And the leftist media remained silent on it. If they were serious about the rise of hate crimes, they may perhaps be examining themselves and the hate that they have drummed up in this country.
She went on to talk about the Democrat Party and what it's done. And then also talking about the fact that they are the ones that have promoted this, that have basically entrapped the people to sell them on an idea that that this has been perpetuated. Ted Lieu came out with comments, her own comments, played back her own comments out of context, which she basically said was talking about nationalism, and she was talking about Hitler. And she said, you know, if Hitler wanted to make the country great, that's one thing. I mean, obviously, it wasn't what he was about, right? And so he took that as her support for Hitler. Well, she fired back at him, and let me just say that, well, it was interesting to say the least. Here you go.
Miss Owen said, quote, if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine.
Yeah, and that was totally taken out of context. And then she said,
as I said, he is assuming that black people will not go pursue the full two-hour clip. And he purposefully extracted, he cut off, and you didn't hear the question that was asked of me. He's trying to present as if I was launching a defense of Hitler in Germany, when in fact, the question that was asked of me was pertaining to whether or not I believed that Hitler was whether or not I believed in nationalism, and that nationalism was bad. And what I responded to was that I do not believe that we should be characterizing Hitler as a nationalist. He was a homicidal, psychopathic maniac that killed his own people. A nationalist would not kill their own people. That is exactly what I was referring to in the clip, and he purposely wanted to give you a cut up similar to what they do to Donald Trump to create a different narrative. That was unbelievably dishonest, and he did not allow me to respond to it, which is worrisome and to tell you a lot about where people are today in terms of trying to drum up narratives.
Wow. Love it, don't you? Candace Owens. She's fantastic, by the way. I really like her. I know, I'm trying to get her on the show, too. She's in demand, shall we say. I'll be right back with Melissa. We'll talk about what happened in Congress. Also, Susan coming on. Loaded show today. Talk about foreign news as well. All kinds of stuff. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.